Hello, this is J.P. Kirsch, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guest, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest, press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 to ask a question. Now let's welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, J.P., and thank you to all of the area residents participating on tonight's call. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will be discussing redistricting of your elected officials with my special guest, Justin Villery, Managing Director of Draw the Lines PA. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. All legislative districts in the State House and the State Senate and your congressional representatives, all their district lines will be redrawn based upon the 2020 census. That means although I'm your state senator now, that could change. Now I'd like to welcome my guest, Justin Villery, who will give us a brief update about who he is. And then we're going to go straight to the calls to answer questions that you have. Justin, take it away.
Thank you very much, Senator. Really appreciate you having me on and the chance to talk about such an important issue that is going to be facing all of Pennsylvania over the next few months. So I, again, like the Senator said, I work with a project called Draw the Lines PA. We are an initiative from the good government nonprofit, the Committee of 70, which is based in Philadelphia. We do statewide work trying to make government more effective and responsive to residents of Pennsylvania. So we've been running Draw the Lines for the last almost 4 years now, trying to prepare residents in Pennsylvania for the coming redistricting process. And so this is something that, as Senator Haywood said, is mandated that we do every 10 years in the U.S. Constitution. We have to redraw the district lines to make sure that there are the same number of people in every legislative and congressional district. So you can't have, 50,000 people in one district and then 250,000 people in another district. That wouldn't be very fair. So because the census that we just did has given us new data that shows that people moved into and out of the state, people were born, people died, so we have to redraw these boundaries to make sure that they are fair. So that there's equal representation. And so what we've been doing through Draw the Lines is allowing people to draw their own congressional legislative maps to get prepared for the process. And now, after we've gotten the census data and over the next 3 months or so, we are going to be redrawing those lines in Harrisburg. And this is going to be, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, this is going to be the on the onus of our elected officials and then a special group of people who will be redrawing the legislative lines. So we're happy to answer any questions about how that process works, how people can get involved and learn more about the process and share what you want to see out of redistricting, why redistricting matters. So any questions like that, we're happy to dive into over the next hour or so. So again, if you want to learn more, you can visit drawthelinespa.org and check out the work that we've got going on, why this issue matters, and how you can get involved. So I think hopefully there's been some questions that have come through, but I'm happy to be here tonight. So thank you for the invite.
Thank you, Justin. I have a question, and I think it's important for folks on the call to hear, which is, how does redistricting matter? I know that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania struck down congressional district lines a few years ago and said that the district lines were unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about why district lines matter and the impact of those lines on who we send to Congress or who we send to the State House or the State Senate?
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought up the court case from a few years ago. That's a really good example of why this issue does matter. So the court case that Senator Haywood is referring to was from 2018, and there was a lawsuit against Pennsylvania's former congressional district lines. We had 18 congressional districts that were drawn after the 2010 census, and they were in force for the 2012, 2014, and 2016 congressional elections in Pennsylvania. And no matter how Pennsylvanians voted in those three elections, you know, in 2012, Pennsylvania tended to favor Democrats. That was when Barack Obama was elected or reelected. 2014, Pennsylvanians gave slight margins to Republicans. 2016, it was very, very close. Donald Trump won that election. Pennsylvania Republican candidates had just a few more votes. But regardless, 2012, 2014, 2016, Republicans won 13 out of 18 seats, regardless of the vote counts. It was not close in terms of the actual congressional delegation breakdown in Pennsylvania. And so the word for that is a gerrymander. That means that regardless of how people voted, the voting districts were drawn in such a way to ensure that one particular party, in this case the Republican Party, maintained power and won elections without really having to face voters in any sort of competitive manner. And so that case was struck, or those districts were struck down in 2018 as an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander. And they were forced to be redrawn. And then the districts that were redrawn as a result of that were much more reflective of Pennsylvania and its, you know, true battleground status as a purple state. So in 2018, it was 9-9. 2020, again, a 9-9 split between Democrats and Republicans. And so how these district lines are drawn has a huge impact on the people that we send to Washington to represent us in Congress, and then also on the legislative side, the people that we send to Harrisburg. And so the state house and state senate maps have some of similar problems that the old congressional districts did. So it does make a huge, huge difference on who we are electing and how we run our elections.
Thank you so much. JP, I turn it back to you for questions from callers.
All right, let me remind our callers that you're listening to a live telephone town hall with Senator Art Haywood and his expert guest, Justin Billery of Draw the Lines PA. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest, please press star 3 on your telephone's keypad. That's star 3 to join the conversation. Now we're going to go to Carmen in Orland. Carmen, you are on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Hello, my question is, where, when, and how can I find out about the timeline roadmap of the redistricting? Thank you.
Sure. So there's there's two different processes. We're talking, you know, there's congressional and then there's the state legislative process. So timeline for the congressional process, it's kind of the Wild West right now, so to speak. So the General Assembly will approve a bill, just like any other bill, and then it will have to be signed by the governor or vetoed. And so that has to be done by the end of January to give the Department of State and then candidates who are going to run to give them time to file nominating petitions and get prepared for the primary. So between now, what is today, October 20th, and we're saying like January 24th is the date that Department of State has been given, it needs to be done by then. And so there's real no clear timeline about when that bill will be passed yet and then sent to the governor for his signature or veto. If he does veto it, then it will likely go to the state Supreme Court. And so that could create some additional challenges, but it has to be done before that January 24th date. On the legislative side, there are certain timelines that are written into the state constitution that we have to follow. And so there's a smaller group of just 5 people that are drawing the state legislative districts, and they have to give the public enough time to react to a draft map that they will produce. So they'll be within the next month or so, we assume, produce a draft map. And then the public will have 30 days, that's mandated by the state constitution, 30 days to react to that map, comment on it, provide feedback, And then this commission that is drawing the map, or the maps, will then have another 30 days to adjust the State House and State Senate maps based off of that public feedback, produce that final map, and then there will be a 30-day period for any court challenges. And again, we're operating under the assumption that January 24th is kind of the drop-dead date for when that those maps would need to be done. So there's there's one factor on the congressional side that we have to be done by January 24th because we're losing a seat. We are going from 18 districts to 17, and we have to be finished by then because there's no way we can roll over the previous map and use a new one. On the legislative side, it's happened in the past where if we don't get our maps done in time for the 2022 election cycle, then we would use previous maps. So we would use the old maps from the last round. So Senator Hayward, we were on another call yesterday, and he mentioned that there are a few other options, such as delaying the primary or shrinking the time between for nominating petitions, the time between those and the primary itself. But those are not areas that I'm an expert in. He might be able to speak better to those. But that's the rough timeline that we're working on. So.
All right.
I don't have anything to add. Yeah, I think that's it. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Carmen. We're going to go to Margaret in 12th Ward, Philadelphia. Margaret, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello, Margaret.
Hi, Senator. As it stands now, you are continuing to be our senator in the 12th Ward, 3rd Division as it stands now, right?
That is correct, as it stands now. But I should share two things. One, the maps for Senate district may not be done until January or so. So, you know, that's the case now, but the district lines could change with this whole redistricting process that we're discussing tonight. So that's one. Two, there is a desire by the courts, the Supreme Court in 2018, that they did not like to see county split, you know, different senators for a county or a whole bunch of different senators for a town, or splits in precincts. And right now, the 12th Ward is split with me and Senator Street. So that did work out in 2010. In 2020, I don't know if the courts and this whole process will continue to allow the split in the 12th Ward between me and my good friend Senator Street. But we're not going to know that until this process is over. However, Justin can describe a way for you to have input into what happened. Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple ways. The group that is drawing the state legislative districts, they are collecting feedback. If you Google, if you have access to the internet at home, and you Google Pennsylvania Legislative Reapportionment Commission, or shorthand Pennsylvania LRC, then you should find a website, Redistricting in Pennsylvania. And this is the official website for the group that is drawing the Senator's new map and the House map that corresponds with it. And they are collecting feedback on Pennsylvania's communities. And so they want to hear from you. You can see who sits on the committee on that website. And then they also have a comment button up there. And they have the ability for you to go onto that website and then say, well, I would like the 12th Ward to be held together. And the more people that share a specific ask, the more powerful it will be for the committee that is drawing these maps. And so we would definitely encourage everyone, and I imagine the senators probably got and his staff are able to put this out on their materials, how people can share these comments with the Legislative Reapportionment Commission for what they want their community to take a look at, so or to look like.
And that website is
Your Voice Counts. Your voice counts, and you can make your voice count by putting in a comment on the website that Justin just described. Your voice counts.
All right, let me remind our listeners, you're listening to a live telephone town hall, and if you would like to participate in this conversation about redistricting and what's coming up for the legislative districts, press star 3 on your telephone's keypad. Press star 3 to ask a question. Ready to go to James in Germantown. James, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, hi, good morning. I mean, good evening. First of all, Senator Haywood, for including the community on this discussion and special guests. My question was, I guess this would change the ratio as to how many Republicans or Democrats are in the neighborhood or in the district.
Well, yeah, it can change the number of Republicans and Democrats in a district. Yes, you're 100% right. And that will be for congressional districts, state house, and state senate districts. So the answer is yes. We're very concerned that the majority, which is the Republican majority, will change the districts in a way to get more Republicans elected and fewer Democrats elected. And so you're exactly right. That's what's at stake here. And when parties do that, as Justin described, that's gerrymandering to give one party an advantage. And I can tell you, I'm very concerned about that process in Pennsylvania because, as Justin said, when the Republicans drew the maps in 2010 for Congress, it ended up with 13 congressmen who were Republicans in Pennsylvania and 5 Democrats. In a state where we know it's closer to 50-50. So, yeah, this is a dangerous time for us. And, James, you're exactly right. This can put more Republicans in the districts. And, obviously, it can also put more Democrats in the districts. But, yeah, you're right. That's what's at stake.
All right. Thank you, James. We're ready to go to another call. Julia in Germantown. Julia, you are on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, good evening. My question has to do with the money that's allocated in each district. When the line decreases or increases, is the money going to, is the financial help going to change for all the constituents in those specific districts?
Thank you for that question. Yes, I understand the question. It's an excellent question, which is I understand what happens to the money. Now, the census is used to determine how much money goes to different towns and municipalities, Philly, Montgomery County, Harrisburg. The census is used. And so the more people you have, the more money you can get from the national government based upon the census. That is right. However, the census money, the money related that comes from the census count, goes to local government, Philadelphia, Harrisburg, Erie, Pittsburgh. That's where the census counts, money that goes into cities and towns. The census does not count for money that goes into political districts, the redistricting. So the amount of money that we will get or will not get is not related to redistricting exactly. The only way it's related to redistricting is this. What I have found in Harrisburg is that the majority party grabs more money than the minority party. That means for us in Pennsylvania, the Republican Party gets more money than the Democratic Party to do things that they want. The Republican state senators get more than the Democratic state senators to do what they want in their districts. So, whether you have Republican or Democratic state senator can affect the amount of money and how the money is spent in a district. Because political representation does affect priorities, what's important, what's not important. I'm trying to get money for higher education. I try to get money for commercial redevelopment. I try to get money for to address climate change, gun violence prevention. These are the priorities that I have for the district. So who represents you does have an impact on the money that comes into the district. I know that was a long answer. I hope it was helpful.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I want to remind our listeners that if you would like to participate in this conversation with Senator Haywood and his guest, Justin Villery, and they're talking about redistricting, press *3 on your telephone's keypad. You can ask a question and join the conversation. I'm going to go to Cynthia in Mount Airy. Cynthia, you are on live with Senator Haywood and his guest. Cynthia, are you there?
Yeah, but you can cancel my question.
Cancel your question? All right, thanks for calling
yes.
in.
Yes, call thank in. You.
I have a question. My question for Justin is, we had this brief discussion yesterday, but how might the 4th Senate District change? And what factors would cause it to change?
Right, yeah, so that's a great question. So if anybody has the ability to look it up while they're listening to this, you can see what the 4th District looks like on a map, and it's, you know, parts of the southeastern part of Montgomery County and then part of the northwestern part of Philadelphia. And there's about 5 townships in Montgomery County that are part of that. And so the 4th District is relatively, the term we use in redistricting circles is compact. There's not a lot of really weird jut outs or carve outs in the 4th District that you see in some of the other state Senate districts, or especially in the state House districts in and around Philadelphia. So the way that the 4th would change would most likely be due to population shifts. And so one thing that we were looking at yesterday is that the 4th has a few more people, a couple thousand more people than the what's called the target population of a district. So every district needs to have roughly the same number of people in it. And so the southeastern part of Pennsylvania has grown relative to other parts of Pennsylvania. So we've seen a lot of people kind of moving into the southeast and south central and away from the northeast, north central, and northwestern parts of the Commonwealth. And so if the 4th District were to change in this next round, it will likely be to try to balance out that population shift, to possibly shrink the size of the 4th District because its population has grown, and it might need to give some of those people to other districts that have fewer people in them, either around it or in the surrounding reaches of the Commonwealth.
Thank you so much. Let me also ask about the 2 congressional districts that are in my area, the Montgomery County District, number 4, and the Philadelphia District, number 3. And I know there's some impact related to voting rights protections, but could you address what changes we might see for either the Montgomery County or the Philadelphia District that are part of the 4th Senate District?
Yeah, sure. So you referenced the Voting Rights Act and how that impacts a demographic makeup of a district. And so District 3 is one of 2 what are called majority-minority districts in Pennsylvania. And so these districts are simply districts where the majority of its residents who are of voting age are what are considered ethnic or language minorities. In Pennsylvania, that would be black Pennsylvanians of Hispanic descent or Asian Americans. And so District 3 is classified as a majority minority district along with District 2 right next door. And so it would be against the Voting Rights Act. This was passed in 1965 at the height of the Civil Rights Movement to ensure that these demographic groups were not disenfranchised further than they already had been. And so these groups are protected. And if a new congressional map were to come out that maybe took away the majority minority status of one of Pennsylvania's districts, then it would be likely subject to a lawsuit that would force the redrawing of a map. And so District 3 is going to have to keep that majority minority status most likely in the next round. District 4, the Montgomery County district, Montgomery County is about 850,000 people, I think, give or take a few. And the target population for a congressional district is going to be about 760,000. So Montgomery County is going to need to be in at least two districts. And so where that split happens is unknown until we see, hopefully we see a draft map before it's actually voted on. But Montgomery County will be split somewhere, so we don't really know where. So it might not be in Senate District 4's area, it might be further north, or maybe over by Bucks County, something like that. But it's going to be interesting to see, and we don't really quite have an idea yet of what that will look like.
Yeah, thanks so much. So we know my district's going to change somewhat because we're going to possibly lose 3,000 people or so, and so that would mean there will be some change in the district lines that we currently have.
Mm-hmm, right. Yep.
Thanks so much.
Let me remind our listeners that you are listening to a live telephone town hall with Senator Art Haywood and his guest Justin Villery of Draw the Lines PA. We're talking about redistricting, how it happens, when it's going to happen. And, gentlemen, we're going to go to some of these email questions and try to put a couple of them together. Thomas and Chestnut Hill wants to know, what is the basis in law for the current way we do redistricting? Is it state law, is it federal law, constitutional law? And if somebody wanted to change the method we do redistricting by, how do we go about doing that?
Open up a can of worms there with that question. Do you want me to take that one, Senator, or do you have any thoughts first?
Yes, go ahead. Thanks so much.
Yeah, sure. So it's a combination for how the law is currently interpreted for redistricting. There are, within the U.S. Constitution and constitutional law, we know that districts have to be equal population, same number of people. We know districts have to be what's called contiguous. You can't have a district separated from itself. You know, it all has to be connected. And so that's on federal constitutional law. Then there is, we just talked about the Voting Rights Act and how that protects certain demographics from disenfranchisement. So that's federal statute. And then in state law, the state constitution, the Constitution says that we need to minimize jurisdictional splits, so we can't have too many counties or municipalities or even wards split beyond what would be necessary to draw a map. And also districts have to be compact. And so those are really the legal frameworks that we have to work around. If one wanted to change how we did that, and this is something that a number of reformers in Pennsylvania have really tried to do over the last 3 or 4 years. They worked pretty hard on it and weren't quite able to get the ball across the goal line before the 2021 process started. But it would involve most likely a change to the state constitution, which if you're familiar with how to amend Pennsylvania's constitution, it is extremely difficult. You have to pass a bill through the legislature in two consecutive terms. So that would be, for example, the 2019 and 2020 term, and then again 2021, 2022 terms. And then after you do that, it would have to go before the voters to a proposition vote. And so that's very difficult to do. And a number of reformers had wanted to do that in Pennsylvania, and they weren't able to pass it through the General Assembly as required. So those folks had wanted to make partisan gerrymandering illegal, essentially, and take political calculations out of play. And so that never was able to come to fruition in reality. So that's kind of the ball game that we're stuck with now. Yeah, hope springs eternal, and maybe we can get it going for 2030. So.
And so we also
Before we, I just want to mention one thing, JP. Sure. We have had many good proposals to create an independent commission to do the district lines. And my experience, and I've only been in this redistricting process one time since I was elected in 2015, but my experience is that the incumbents have too much influence over the district lines, having their voices heard. And so I am in full support of having an independent commission draw these district lines so we can get more objectivity and reduce the power of incumbents in determining what the district lines will be. There are states across the nation that have an independent commission to draw the lines. That's what we need in Pennsylvania.
All right, then we also have a couple of questions that are along the same lines. Are districts even the best way to elect officials to your government? Are there other ideas?
So,
well, there've been some. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Senator.
Go ahead, Justin.
Some folks have advanced the idea of multi-member districts, where you've got more than one person. Fewer districts, more people, and that's a form of proportional representation, kind of more like a European Parliament style. That would be very. You'd have to amend the Constitution for that too. That would be a pretty difficult. Idea. So I don't know, Senator, are there others that have come across your plate?
Sure. Yeah, proportional representation is the alternative, but is not the approach that the nation was built upon. The core idea is to have one representative for one geography, the State House, State Senate, and U.S. Congress. So I think the distance between where we are and going to proportional representation is a multi-generational kind of change. But there are other ways to organize representation across the world. I think proportional representation is probably the other one that's big. I used to... So I went to graduate school in London, so I have more experience with some of the European systems, and it does create a lot of parties, challenges for creating governing coalitions. You might have a dozen different parties, but there's definitely a different way to go.
All right, we're going to go to L in Philadelphia. L, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. I have a comment. I just wanted to make you aware that I received my mail-in ballot, and it was only one-sided. It did not have...
That is a problem.
That's a big problem. I was down at the Board of Elections yesterday, and they gave me the proper one. But I'm wondering, they said I was a part of the early mailing. How many other people don't have the second side of the ballot?
I don't know, but I will find out. Omar Sabir is one of the city commissioners. I have his number. I sent him a text and find out. But that's a serious problem. Unfortunately, some folks in Philadelphia County and Montgomery County received ballots that were one-sided. So it's not just Philadelphia. Of course, that's not a good thing. But a number of counties got these one-sided ballots out early. I know there's an effort to correct it. But in order for every vote to count, all the candidates had to be on the ballot. So I'm going to reach out to Omar and see what he's doing that the city commissioners are doing to make sure everybody gets to vote for all the candidates, because that's a serious problem. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I was not aware of it, but I will follow up.
All right, and remind our listeners that you're listening to a live telephone town hall with Senator Art Haywood and Justin Billery of Draw the Lines PA, and we're talking about redistricting, why we do it the way we do it, how we do it, and when we're going to do it after this census. I want to remind you, if you want to participate in this conversation or you have a question about the complicated redistricting process, press *3 on your telephone's keypad. That's *3 to ask a question. And, of course, if you have a problem with your Philadelphia election ballot in Philadelphia, you can always call the election office at 215-686-3469. Next, we're going to go live to Michael in West Oak Lane. Michael, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Oh, hi. No, I just really would like it if someone could go in and explain how did this whole redistricting came about again, and you know.
Fair question. Thank you, Michael. Justin, go ahead. Give us the full background and where we are today.
Sure, yeah. So this has been going on since the dawn of our Constitution, our Republic, when we first set out, way back in the 1800s, to create a Congress, and then within each state to create state legislatures. And as the senator mentioned, we set up what are single representative districts, where everyone is grouped into a district, and then that is how they vote for who represents them in the larger body. Whether it's on the state level or the federal level. So that's been going on forever. What's also been going on for almost as long is this idea of gerrymandering, where the elected official will try to protect their interest or protect their party's interest and then draw lines that benefit their party. And so this has been going on since the Democratic Republicans of Massachusetts tried to gerrymander the Whigs, I think, in 1812. So that's where the name gerrymander came from. It was the Governor Elbridge Gerry from the state of Massachusetts, or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, back in 1812, in a political newspaper, drew a political cartoon because of a district that Governor Gerry had signed off on that looked kind of like a salamander, and they called it the gerrymander. And for some reason, over the next 200 years, it became the term gerrymander. So that's what we've been working with. And so since that time, there have been a number of reforms that have tried to improve the process. Used to have districts where there might be 10,000 people in them next to districts where there were 100,000 people in them, and then some lawsuits came about that required every district to have the same number of people in it. But what's really brought this attention, or brought this issue to the attention of so many, has been now the availability of publicly available software that's free, and people can use the same type of software and data to draw their own districts that the political operatives and political pros use. And so that's one of the things that Draw the Lines is able to use and get people involved in this issue so that they can learn about it and practice their own district drawing to figure out, how they want to be represented, and then share those districts with their elected officials so that they can say, well, this is what I think the district should look like, and hopefully impact how the maps are drawn in 2021.
All right, thanks for that answer, and thanks for the question. We're going to go to David in Abington Township. David, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Yes, hi, my name is David Lederman. I'm from Abington Township. I wanted to ask the question. Earlier in the conversation, you mentioned a couple of the other presidents that were triumphant in their run for office. Why have you not answered or talked about the 2020 election results, and how does that affect the redistricting? And someone else in the second part of that question is, earlier in the conversation, someone mentioned about Republicans there's more Republicans in the state of Pennsylvania than there are Democrats. So why redistrict the areas to balance it when, you know, maybe there are more Republicans in this area? So why should we redistrict it to make it, you know, fair for the Democrats to win?
Thank you so much, David. I don't actually recall talking about the role of presidents, but I'm glad to address it. And I think while I'm talking, maybe somebody can come up with the voter registration numbers to determine whether your assessment of the Republican majority in Pennsylvania is accurate. But in terms of the role of the president on redistricting is a process that does not include the president of the United States. What Justin described is that the redistricting is done by a commission, a legislative commission for the state house and the state senate, which is composed of state legislators and a neutral person. So the president is not involved in that at all. And for Congress, the districts are determined by the vote of the state house and the state senate, majority vote, if it's approved by the governor. So the president is not involved in any way in determining what districts are or are not. In terms of gerrymandering, what we have found across the history of the United States is that the party that's in the majority tends to draw lines that favor them. So in states where there's a Democratic majority, it's often the case that lines are drawn to favor Democrats. In Republican-controlled states, it's much more likely that lines are drawn to protect Republicans. In terms of voter registration, I have the numbers, so I just want to correct you so we start off from the same point. Today, there are about 4 million, a little bit more than 4 million Democrats registered to vote in Pennsylvania, and there's about 3.3 Republicans registered to vote in Pennsylvania. So currently there are about 700,000 more Democrats than Republicans to vote in Pennsylvania. This is why when the congressional lines were drawn so that there were 13 Republican congressional representatives, congresspersons, and 5 Democrats, that was a good example of gerrymandering because the state is much more evenly distributed between Republicans and Democrats. This is also why the Supreme Court, when they redrew the map, the results from voters was 9-9, pretty much even Republicans and Democrats, which is much closer to the population of Democrats and Republicans in Pennsylvania. So I hope that is helpful, but yeah, the president is not involved in redistricting. And I believe that's a very good thing.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to a live telephone town hall with Senator Art Haywood and his guest, Justin Billery. And we're talking about redistricting in Pennsylvania. And, Senator, I believe we're going to introduce another topic at this point.
Thank you so much. I know that my office did a poll in our last e-news about issues that are of top concern to residents. And the top issue was gun violence. We just got these poll results last Friday. And since we just got these poll results last Friday, I did share that I'm willing to take a question or two on gun violence since it was the highest ranked issue in the district. We have in my office spent, I think, a considerable amount of time on redistricting, and this is the culmination of that process. For those who may not know, we had redistricting sessions online where individuals could actually draw a map themselves on what district lines should be. Justin helped us throughout this entire process, of bringing further education about the importance of redistricting, as well as how to make your voice count. So I know we spent about 45 minutes on redistricting, which I think is important. I'm glad to spend more time on it. But I did get the poll results, and I thought that since I just got them, I would be willing to take a question or two on that topic. But it looks like we got Sandy Smith online.
All right, so if your listeners have a question about gun violence, press star 3 on your telephone's keypad to ask your question. In the meantime, while those callers come in, we're going to go to Sandy in Germantown. Sandy, do you have a question?
Well, yes, I do. Do you think that the, you know, quality of our elections and our representation might be improved, you know, since we already discussed that, you know, we've had districts drawn to the benefit of the party that actually has the minority of registered voters in this state? Would it be better if each district were drawn so that there were roughly even numbers of each party, or close to as close to even as possible, given the slight registration edge?
Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I can jump in. So there's a lot of people would agree with that sentiment, and so there the challenge with doing that. You and I think in areas where you're not running afoul of splitting too many counties or municipalities or creating districts that are not very compact, then I think that is a very, very noble goal that map drawers should take into account. There are a number, just because of the way that our populations are stratified, urban tends to vote more Democratic, rural tends to vote more Republican, and that is that gap is continually widening, that to create very competitive districts, you might have to create some strange lines that would be challengeable in a court of law on that compactness or the county splits metrics that are in the state constitution. So I think in to a certain degree, that's definitely a valuable goal and could really help create some more competitive elections and some maybe more reasonable politics within our increasingly challenging atmosphere. But ultimately, there are just some limitations to doing that across the board, where you're creating every district to be competitive, because it's just the way that our populations are now located. That will be difficult to do. So
let me also address the political or the governing consequences of extreme partisanship. And when legislators come from districts that are all red or all blue, then I think there's a tendency not to appreciate the position of the other side, because all you're hearing is the position of your side. And when people are not sensitive, when elected officials are not sensitive to opposing views, then I think it does increase the, makes it more difficult to reach compromise, makes it more difficult to govern. I'll give you an example. Back in 2015, the first year I was elected, there was an impasse with the budget when the governor vetoed the budget. And I was talking about probably 7 months after the veto, we're still in a point where there's no budget, still a budget impasse. I sat with a friend of mine, a state senator who was Republican, and we said, boy, we're at this impasse, this is pretty tough. I said to him, all the folks in my district want to see the governor's budget pass. He said all the people in his district wanted to see the governor's budget stopped. Now, of course, that's not all the people in either one of our districts, but it was a feeling of pass it, stop it. The more districts have folks of more, a greater balance, it's much more likely that there will not be an impasse and that compromise will be reached. I'll share one thing more about this topic. In elections, which we're getting ready to have in a couple of weeks, candidates emphasize the differences, how different they are. I am A, I'm running against Z, and choose one of the two. It's all about accentuating the differences to get voters to choose you and not the other person. Governing is the opposite. Governing is where you want to bring people together. Elected officials need to come together to compromise, to find common ground in order to advance policy and budgets that will help everyday people. So the more we can bring people into the legislature who see the value of compromise, then when it comes time to govern, we're in a much better position to get legislation passed that helps everyday folks.
All right, thank you, Senator. And we're going to remind our listeners that we're taking questions about redistricting tonight with Senator Haywood and his guest, Justin Villery from Draw the Lines PA. Or if you have a question about gun violence, which has been a hot topic in the district, you can also press *3 on your telephone's keypad to ask a question about either of those topics. I'm going to go back to the email questions. Lynn in Mount Airy writes in, are there examples from other states that Pennsylvania could consider as a resolution to some of the challenges to redistricting? What states do it well?
Yeah, so the gold standard is, California in 2010 created a redistricting commission in 2011 that they used, and it seemed to work pretty well. And that was, as Senator Haywood mentioned, uses independent citizens of California outside of the political realm. Two other states recently adopted the same model in 2018, Colorado, and then a state that we, you know, might have a little more in common with culturally, demographically, and geographically, Michigan adopted an independent commission as well. The challenge with both of those and California is that those are all states where it's much easier to get an initiative on the ballot in Pennsylvania to amend the state then in Pennsylvania to allow them to amend the state constitution. So short of that, continuing to produce citizen input is something that a number of states have done, and Pennsylvania's been a little behind on that, but we think through initiatives like Draw the Lines, and then our friends at Fair Districts PA have been really, really good at this as well. Just trying to get more people interested in this and talking to their legislators about what they want to see in their districts. So that means giving really, really high quality, specific feedback to your district that you live in currently and how you want to see it either held the same or changed. And so we've learned from a number of states in that regard as well. So
I have a question, please. Justin, thanks so much. How would you compare the citizen input to the redistricting process in 2021, that which we are currently in, to the citizen input into the process in 2011? What's the difference as far as you can see in terms of citizen involvement?
Yeah, it's honestly not even close, Senator. There's a huge difference between what I can remember of 2011, not just in Pennsylvania, but across the country. This was not really an issue that people focused on. And then there were a number of states that saw their maps pretty heavily gerrymandered in 2011 leading into the 2012 elections. And so that kind of caught people's eye. And then some books and literature came out that really brought out this as a popular political issue. You know, but previously it has always been thought of as kind of just this wonky thing that only mapping nerds really paid attention to. But since then, and really again, the folks at Fair Districts PA deserve a lot of credit for this. Over the last 3 or 4 years, Pennsylvanians have mobilized around this in a way that we hadn't seen before. And so the number of people who are paying attention and on our Draw the Lines initiative, we've had over 7,200 people try to draw their own map. And over 1,500 of those have been completely finished, you know, people who have spent the hours drawing their own maps and submitting it to our competitions and then to their legislators. That never happened in 2011. So people are paying attention to this much more now than they ever were in the previous decade. And so that bodes well. And we're hoping that that leads to a better process this time. So the other factor is that we have split government. So it's not just one party who's controlling both the General Assembly, the governor's office, and the state Supreme Court. The two parties are going to have to work together, and hopefully that will create some level of fair districts in the next round.
Senator, you had an event last night. To help people maybe try their own hand at redistricting. Tell us what happened there.
So this was part two of a two-part series we had with Draw the Line, and Justin was our main presenter. Part one is where we describe the importance of redistricting, what it means, and some history of it. Part two was to give those who were on the Zoom meeting advice as to how to influence, how to get their comments on the maps. And Justin, this might be a good time just to give a few highlights of what counts. What counts in terms of comments, whether your neighborhood might be split, some of the advice you gave to folks who were on the Zoom last night. It would be good for the callers to hear tonight.
Absolutely, yeah. So like Senator said, we were able to look at the actual maps right now and then give the opportunity for people to go into this free, publicly available mapping software. We use a platform called the wonderfully titled Dave's Redistricting, D-A-V-E-S, Redistricting. And you can go in, create your own account, and then try to draw your own map. And so that's what we did last night. And people were able to look at the current Senate District 4 and then some of the surrounding House districts in the Philadelphia and Montgomery County areas and critique what they thought about those districts. Did they like how, you know, Ward 12 had a split in it? Was that good or bad? How are we going to move population around? And so what we did, taking off of those lessons, is how can we share opinions with the people who are actually drawing the map? And so we referenced this in this call earlier tonight. The Legislative Reapportionment Commission, if you Google that, they have a comment field on their website where you can put your comments in about the maps that are currently in existence on the legislative side. You can share your thoughts. On the congressional side, you can also share your thoughts. I think, paredistricting.com, and that is a website run by the State House. They have a website up where they are collecting feedback as well on the congressional maps. And so you can, again, provide your comments. And what we're saying on these comments is be very careful to make them specific on what you like or don't like about a map. It's one thing to say, well, I think redistricting should be fair and both parties should have a chance of winning. It's like, well, that's great in thought, but it doesn't really help the mapper really drill down into a community that they might not know about. The mapper might be from Erie. They might not know anything about Philadelphia. And they are going to rely on the experts, the people who live there, to tell them about that community. And so on the legislative side, the person who is chairing the commission, his name is Mark Nornberg, he has pledged to read every public comment that gets put into that that forum. So we would certainly encourage folks to utilize that feature that's on the site.
And don't forget about the website, redistricting.state.pa.us. That's the statewide information center for all things redistricting. And, of course, senatorhaywood.com.
Right. And that's perfect, because that's the one I'm talking about. So I'm glad you actually had the URL on there. So thank you for putting that up there. Thanks.
Would you repeat that, please?
It is redistricting.state.pa.us. And I believe
you
if you
so
Google
much.
PA redistricting, that will be your top-ranked choice.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great. And I should share that the interactive mapping session that we had last night with Justin will be available on my website Friday, and that's going to be at senatorhaywood.com/redistricting. But there's a lot of information out. From a timing perspective, however, as Justin said, we will need to get these maps done before candidates start running for election, because candidates have to know the district that they're running in. And so there's going to be, a lot of quick movement between November and January to get these final maps done. And I anticipate a lot of action in this time period. The maps need to be done so that candidates know where they are running, who are their voters. So we got going to be a heck of a time crunch to get it done, but I'm optimistic that it will be done timely.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Well, the hour is upon us, sir. We are about out of time for this discussion. Do you have any final words for our audience?
Thank you for participating in our telephone town hall discussion. To those who listen in and to those who ask questions, thank you very much to my special guest, Justin Villery, for not just your participation tonight, but in all the draw the lines redistricting activities of my district and beyond. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Have a good evening.
Thank you for participating in Senator Art Haywood's Telephone Town Hall. You've been a great audience. Thank you for sharing your evening with us.